Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Stacey Marshall from the Flag Football America Network, and I'm here with another episode of our podcast. The main goal of Flag Football America is not only create awareness of flag football, but also just share some of the exciting things that are going on around the country every day. And so this is our second interview with an excellent director, someone who's just doing sort of very innovative things in the flag football community. So I'm going to have our guest introduce himself and just talk a little bit about why he's on the show today. Who we have with us?
Thank you, Stacey. I'm Raymond Kidd. I am the league director of TC Flag Football and owner of TC Sports out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've been running our league for close to 3 years now and have ran it pretty much nonstop with the exception of the summer, but have a growing league that started out from 4 teams and we're now up to 30 teams, hopefully for this fall.
That's great, yeah. And my introduction to Raymond was, I guess, almost over a year ago, and you're really one of our first interviews. So, again, I want to thank you for just taking your time out to talk with us. You know, we're a growing organization, and one of the reasons we're able to grow and offer content is because of people like you. So we just want to thank you here as well.
Well, thank you for having me again. I definitely feel like I have a lot to share with the experiences that we have over at TC Sports and TC Flag Football that would benefit not only, you know, those that are within the immediate community of Minneapolis, but as well as those that participate in flag football around the nation. And hopefully a little bit of the insight that I can provide helps the sport grow stronger and better as well.
That's great. All right, so let's just take a step back and then we'll jump forward to today. Give us sort of like where were you at the last time we spoke? I know you were running leagues primarily what, in just the winter or was it fall and spring? So just give us a little update on where you were when we spoke last and then where you're at today.
So where we were last year was exactly around the same time. We were just closing up our registration for fall and we entered into our fall 2014 season. We had a lot of goals in mind and a lot of expectations. But some of them came through and some of them had fallen through. So basically we went through our fall season and we did winter one and winter two. Our biggest hurdle that we ran into was our winter one season. We ended up having the worst thing that could happen as a league coordinator to have happened, and that was a lot of teams saying that they were going to enter our league and they really didn't. Our actual goal numbers were 32 teams, and I think we hit closer to 20. So we were expecting 12 additional teams. We rented a ton of field time, which in Minnesota is not cheap by any means because you're looking at indoor dome space November through January, peak times of the year. So we had overexerted ourselves on that, and we kind of fell through on our goals, which hindered us financially as a league as well, because we had more expenses than income that was coming in on that end. So, and then what we did was we quickly, luckily we do a year contracts or contracts in advance, and so we know how much time or field space that we had for the next season, and we said, all right, what can we do to cut back on our losses and gain the ground that we lost on? So we really, middle of the winter one season, we started pushing winter two registration hard, and then when we got to the point of seeing how many teams that we were going to have, which again was a little bit lower than expected, we turned around and came back and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to adjust our scheduling so that we don't have single games this season. We're going to do double headers, and we're going to crunch it up, and we're going to fit up another season into this contract that we have for this facility. That way we can maximize the amount of time, have the amount of teams that we need to have in, and then we can basically dictate how things go on from here on. It opened up an opportunity for us as well in being – creative as well. One of the things that we did was we opened up a NFL Represent Your Team event, and that was during the week of the Pro Bowl for the NFL season, and we ended up having a little break in between our two league seasons between winter two and in our spring session. And so basically what we did was we said, hey, anybody who wants to play in this, you're going to have to obviously pay a little bit of a registration fee to participate, but basically what you can do is you're going to represent your NFL team. If you're a Vikings fan, you're going to wear a Vikings jersey. If you're a Packers fan, you're going to sport your favorite Packers fan, you know, Packers player jersey. And then for those that are the, you know, occasional Cowboys or Bengals or Patriots fan or what have you, then what we're going to do is we're going to create a Pro Bowl team. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a round robin setup where you not only play just the Vikings or the Bears or the Packers, but you play some of them Pro Bowl teams. And essentially what's going to happen is the best team that comes out of this will get a free registration into our summer tournament. And that was to obviously create an opportunity to raise funds for us for the need that we had at that moment. We also create an opportunity in which players who typically play in our league, they're stuck on one team all the way through, and they see these competitive players on other teams that they said, man, I would like to play with that guy. I'd like to throw a long bomb to that guy, or I'd like to catch a reception or a pass from that guy. You know, it gave them that opportunity. So we got to see our league kind of have a little bit more cohesiveness and players getting to know other players, and hopefully it pays out in the end because you kind of have this respect for that player even more because you know him on a personal basis, not just as a competitor. And I think sometimes in leagues, you know, especially if you don't have a close niche league, you can forget that your competitor, the reason why you're there is for your competitors. You got to respect the game, and sometimes too many times people get too personal about the game and not care about their competitor. And there's, you know, sometimes we've seen a little disrespect going on, a little trash talk that goes a little overboard. And I think this event kind of helped, you know, grow our league a little bit better and, like I said, create an opportunity. So after that event, we ran into our spring session. Things kind of boiled over. I think after 3 years, people were getting tired of playing consistently back-to-back seasons. Our officials were getting worn down. I was personally getting worn down going week to week to week, you know, preparing for leagues. So after our spring session, we turned around and said, okay, we're going to step back. We're going to take the summer off. And something that we hadn't done in, you know, a few years. So we took the summer off. We kind of recalibrated some things. We looked at how we did our registration process and things of that sort. And then we reopened up our first tournament, which typically in our past tournaments were, you know, you get free registration. This year we opened it up so that the first place team got a $1,000 cash prize. And we took what we learned from the Rep Your Team event and applied it to the tournament in terms of how to manage our time and manage the field space and the officials and all that stuff so that it turned out to be the best tournament that we've ran. And people were very excited about the opportunity of us potentially running another tournament coming up soon. So, and that has essentially, you know, panned out into creating a very high buzz for our league season coming up, as, you know, people have seen that, you know, we've taken the time to look back and say, okay, what do we need to do to make our league better, to look more organized, to look more competitive, to just basically strengthen our strengths already and, you know, improve our weaknesses. So.
No, I think the summer, I think taking that summer off is a smart move, because I know even sort of other indoor facilities that'll do like a fall, a winter, maybe winter one, winter two. They'll definitely get some people for the spring. But, you know, summer, I think offer it. But, you know, that little break makes you a little hungrier for it. And having sort of like a tourney just sort of takes the edge off, I think. So that's a smart move to do that, to give that little break, especially for like your, it seems like you have a good, consistent customer base. So I think they probably appreciate that as well, so they can make travel plans and really take a break.
Yep, absolutely. And I think a lot of guys are you know, in our league actually did do that. And, you know, like I said, they're coming back more hungry. We got, right now, we are tracking close to 28 teams entering our fall league, which is the highest number that we've ever had. We're usually sitting around 18 to 20. So to have that little extra bump in participation has shown that there's more teams that are hungry, more people that are wanting to run a team, and new teams that have taken notice to, you know, our program and saying, hey, we want to come over and we want to try TC Flag Football out. So,
That's great. Hey, and let's talk a little bit about Sport Engine. I want to let my audience know through TC Flag Football and Raymond's conversation, we actually went with his recommendation and we were introduced to his vendor of choice for the website. We currently use it for our website, and you know, Philadelphia Flag Football is someone we work closely with, and they also use it as well as a joint site, and they've got, you know, use the mobile app. So yeah, let's talk about, you know, your relationship with Sport Engine and just some of the other features that you're able to offer having a relationship with them.
So Sport Engine is definitely something that we looked in hard and long about before we signed up with them. And when we did, we're absolutely happy that we've signed up with them, and we're not looking back on that decision at all. One of the things that we like about it is the live interaction. We can sit there and we'll be on the field during our games, and as the games are going with our mobile app, we can enter in scores directly into our website mobilely, and it translates right into our website so that if we have players that are missing out for a week for, you know, we've got a lot of National Guard guys, reservists that are out the first week in the month, so sometimes they'll miss a game. They can look at their mobile app, or they can go onto our website and see how their team is performing live, score by score. That is a great feature that gives us a leg up on any competitor that we have in the Twin Cities for our flag football program. The other thing is the interactive you know, ability that teams have with their own team page in terms of team captains will be soon able to message their players, hey, are you going to be coming to this game? And the players can come back and, you know, respond yes or no. And it gives the team captain an advantage to sit there and see how many players are going to be coming in. You know, by their Wednesday game or Wednesday night, they'll know whether they have the numbers that they need or if they need to pull in a sub. They can also coordinate practices a little bit better and send messages to their players without even having to know their player's phone number or keep track of that. It's all done via the app as well. So a lot of cool features with that. Some of the other things that we're able to do within the website is generate newsline stories. So if you visit our website, www.mytcsports.com, on the very front end there, you'll start to see news headlines. Sorry, that was so difficult to say.
Right.
as to what's going on within our league. And a lot of those storylines are, you know, written up by me in terms of, you know, the information. But soon we'll be having individual storylines about teams versus team matchups, as it's going to be placed in our featured game of the week and things of that sort. Also, I mean, the ease of adding pictures and videos and getting sponsors to jump on board with you on this website is a lot easier as well. So it's very easy for somebody who's doing the league work as well as, you know, doing the web page and all that stuff. And it took a lot of time that I was dedicating for entering standings and stats and all that stuff away, and now I'm able to dedicate that time to something else more important.
That's great. That's great. This is Stacy Marshall from Flag Football America Network. You can see reach us at flagfootballamerica.com. We are also on Facebook at Flag Football America, and we are also finally on Instagram, Flag Football America. I am here with Raymond Kidd, TC Flag Football League in Minnesota. So let's talk about, I know you wanted to share a little bit about ways you have and the value of getting into the community. What have you been able to do in the last year that you think would be helpful information for other leagues around the country?
Sure. So one thing that we are big about here at TC Sports is philanthropy and, you know, helping out with community. It is a strong belief that the more active that you are with the community, the more benefits is going to, you know, come back to you and your staff as well. And what I mean by that is not only just helping out with the event, but it gets recognition as to who's doing the event. You know, a lot of people will pay attention to that. You'd be surprised as to, you know, how many people would be like, who's running this? Who's helping out with this? Who's involved with this event, because it ran really smooth or it did whatever. So some key events that we have going on this year that we've helped out in the past are we're doing a blondes versus brunette flag football game in the beneficiary is the Alzheimer's Research. So we're helping out with that. We're providing officials for that game, as well as we're helping out with the Special Olympics of Minnesota doing their Unified Flag Football Tournament as well. And then one thing that we're looking at doing coming up is participating with the Wounded Warrior Project, as I personally am a veteran of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and know firsthand, you know, how a lot of our disabled veterans are not able to participate in some of the activities that they would like to, and if they could be afforded the opportunity, they would most definitely participate in those activities. And I think flag football is one of those sports that any disabled vet could definitely participate in, no matter what their disability is, and they would have a ton of fun. And this opportunity would also be something in which we can give back to a major program that I'm deeply involved with, and can help, you know, put more funds into their program to help more disabled vets recover from their disability. So those are some things that we're working on in terms of participation with the community. Other things that we're doing is helping out with research of other products that could potentially impact the community in other sports. One of those things is we've partnered with Game Breaker Helmets to start importing Game Breaker Helmets into our flag football program. We're big on safety in our league, and one of the concerns that we have is traumatic brain injuries and head damage and concussions and things of that sort. So we are definitely endorsing their product by saying, hey, any of our players that want to wear that product, we're definitely up for, you know, you having it on there. There's no rules or guidelines against it. And as a matter of fact, we encourage it. And so we've partnered up with them, and they've worked with us to, you know, get it so that we could have customized Game Breaker helmets that have our logo placed on it. And, you know, if we, you know, happen to sell a few Game Breaker helmets, then a few profits do come our way. But more or less, it's more about safety than anything else to our players that I'm more concerned about with this product. Another product that I'm looking at getting imported into our league is the SISU mouth guards. These are customized mouth guards that once you mold them, they fit directly with your mouth. I mean, these aren't any other molded mouth guards I've ever seen. And the cool thing about them is, you know, once you say, for example, you had something done where you had, you know, tooth come out, or you had something realigned with your mouth or what have you, you can take the mouth guard out and put it under some heat and make it pliable again, and then, you know, readjust it to you, how your face or your mouth has readjusted as well. It works really good for youth, as, you know, obviously youth mouth is consistently changing or altering as they're growing up as well. So we definitely want to endorse those two products, as again, it promotes safety within our league. And we want to make sure that all of our players are able to, you know, have the most amount of protection that they can possibly have to keep them in the game.
And how have you partnered with PAIR? Is that an organization you also work with?
Yep. PAIR is a partnership program, and this is a really cool program that I think every flag football program should be jumping onto. It doesn't take anything from their participants in terms of, you know, some sponsorships, they require you to, you know, go into a bar or a restaurant consistently on a weekend basis, you know, while your games are going and things of that sort. PAIR sponsorships are partnered with other corporate brands like Stouffer's, and they partnered with SISU and T-Shirt Inc. and a various wide number of brands. And what they do is they basically say, hey, you go on here, you like this, you watch this 30-second commercial, you do this task, and they have about 9 to 10 tasks that you have to complete. With each task that you complete, you get a dollar or two towards your sponsorship, towards your ability to retain funds for jerseys, registration, what have you. Each little program that they have within PAIR is a little bit different, and it's specific to, you know, each individual sport that you're looking at doing or what have you. But, I mean, it's really simple. And basically the idea is that they're trying to raise awareness about whatever product that they're trying to promote, and that identity or that brand is going to pay you back for getting that notoriety out about their product or, you know, something that they're trying to sell to all your friends, they're going to reward your team back with funds so that you guys can, you know, purchase jerseys and, like I said, have funds for registration or other athletic apparel. We actually had, what we did too is that we said, well, instead of trying to have individual teams try to do this, because we know a team could sit there and say, hey, we're going to do this, and they've got 10 guys, and of the 10 guys, maybe 3 participate, and they don't achieve their goal. Well, as a league director, I've got, you know, 400 guys in our league easily that we're networked with that I'm sitting there saying, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to sit there and try to get as many guys as we can to participate in this program. And when we had, you know, close to 300 guys participate, we ended up raising $400 for jerseys for our team. And basically we said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We can identify who all participated in this program, and all those that participated, we're going to put you in for a random drawing. And if you win that random drawing, your team wins the prize, the sponsorship or what have you. So it's been pretty successful for us. And I just figured, you know, other teams or other leagues that are having issues with getting jerseys or getting some sort of sponsor, I mean, this is a great opportunity. It's easy. You don't really have to do a ton of stuff except for the minimal task where literally it takes 20 or 30 seconds to do.
That sounds awesome. That sounds great. Again, Stacy Marshall from Flag Football America Network. You can see, reach us at flagfootballamerica.com. You can email us at flagfootballamerica@gmail.com. And we're also on Instagram and on Facebook. One of the things that I saw on your website, I'm sorry, on Facebook, was so primarily, I think I get it, you've been doing fall, winter one, winter two, had been doing summer, kind of backed off that, but doing tournaments. You've primarily been focused on men, but I did see some news about you attempting to start a co-ed flag football division.
Yeah, we are basically trying to identify where we can get some flag co-ed teams going. It's been difficult for us. For whatever reason, we can't seem to get the network. And, again, this is kind of hoping that with our event with the Blondes versus Brunettes, we're able to get the female players that you know, co-ed needs to participate you know, get notoriety about, you know, what type of programs that we have. And hopefully we are able to get them into, you know, teams and build a co-ed league up. We'll probably be using the same format that we did with our men's league. We'll start off small with, you know, 4 to 6 teams just to get a platform built, just to get the rules identified, and then try to build on from there. There is an opportunity there for us. We've identified that there's another league that used to run co-ed on Saturday that's not running co-ed anymore. So there's teams out there. It's just a matter that we have to figure out how to get those teams into our program and, you know, get things going. And we're wanting teams. We're wanting co-ed teams for sure.
So the co-ed flag football would be on like a Saturday, and then your other leagues they're still primarily on Sunday?
Our men's league is on Saturdays from 4 to 8 p.m.
Oh, okay,
and
so
then
okay.
We would be, yeah, and we would be looking at co-ed during the same time at 4 to 8 p.m. Because that's where our field space is. We are in the midst of talking with another venue to see about getting weeknights, and if we can get that done, then yeah, we're definitely looking at getting co-ed done on the weeknights as well as a men's league during the weeknights. We definitely have interest in that. And we're just at that point in time where I think we're ready to grow a little bit more and get out of our shell of just being on Saturdays.
And so when does, just for my audience so that they can, if they're interested in just seeing what you're doing, when what are some upcoming dates that we should be aware of with your league?
So our league registration closes out this coming up Friday, and then our first game starts on September 5th. And we'll run until October 24th. October 24th is our playoffs. And we'll be over at the West St. Paul Dome from 4 to 8 p.m. on Saturdays. If we are able to lock in our dates for weeknights, we're looking at Wednesday, Thursday nights starting in October 14th, running through December for that. And then our Winter 1 season that's on Saturdays would be starting the second week of November. Again, 4 to 8 p.m. is when we're scheduled to be in there, and that's going to be running through January.
Very good. And then real quickly, I wanted to just follow up with you again about the game breaker helmets. What's been like the feedback or sort of what's been sort of the interest level with your teams or players to wear them, or have you had any actual purchases, or what are you expecting for the fall as far as the acceptance of that type of helmet? Because it is new. I actually had a great conversation with somebody as far as, you know, people would rather spend $25-$30 on like the newest Under Armour gear or Nike gear, but they wouldn't spend any money maybe for some head protection. So just quickly wanted to get what's your feelings? How do you think it's going to go? What are your expectations for that?
So one thing is with it is that, you know, you have to look at the research as to how much brain injuries may occur or how much head injuries occur in your league. One thing that we had was we had somewhere between 12 to 15 concussions that were reported in our league last year.
Okay.
And a couple of those were really bad, you know, knock them out type of concussion. So I think players have paid attention to that a little bit more to say, hey, you know, this is not a great thing to have happen in our league. It's with, you know, people getting hurt like this. But at the same time, what can we do to, you know, protect ourselves? So I've presented the idea of these game breaker helmets to our league. At first, I went around the route of saying, hey, we're just going to mandate these things. That did not go over well. I will say that. So if you're a league coordinator or something of that sort, definitely do your research. Try to talk to your players a little bit about, you know, the preventative measures that you can take to reduce head injuries, and that can be rule changes or what have you, or it can be implementing, you know, the option of getting these helmets. Right now, we're probably tracking somewhere between a dozen and to two dozen players looking at purchasing these helmets for their own, you know, head safety. And again, it goes by player position. That's going to be really, you know, those that are working the line are probably not going to purchase the helmet. But those that play the wide receiver, cornerback position, the ones that come in that crossing route right in the middle, I mean, those guys will probably be more interested in purchasing the helmet. And I'll be demoing the helmet throughout the fall season just so that players can have a better awareness, and if they have any questions, they can come to me about it. But overall, I mean, I think it's a standout product. It's something that every league should probably be looking at having into their program, because again, you know, it doesn't do you any good to have a player that's out for a week or two because they've got a concussion, which could have been something that could have been preventable by wearing something like a game breaker helmet.
Okay, so I find that interesting. So not really. So you're a 7-on-7 league. You got linemen. And so your feeling is that the players who get the most speed and who actually get that speed going down the field and you know, trying to avoid or go for the ball, those are the ones you feel, from your experience in your league, have been the ones that have been more susceptible to concussions versus interior linemen who don't move as much.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you see it a lot where, you know, you get, like I said, a guy coming across the middle, and he's trying to make a play, defender tries to make a play, and their heads collide. Or, you know, you get the typical jump ball in the end zone, the guy comes up, but he comes down on his head and makes contact with the turf. We've seen those types of situations as well. So it's typically, like I said, 99% of the time, it's the receivers that are going up and getting hurt, and the corners are getting hurt because they're trying to make plays. Linemen themselves, I mean, they keep their heads up, away from, you know, making contact or what have you, and they're not really involved with, you know, any sort of running game or anything like that. It's just more or less, you know, they're doing what they need to do. But again, it's the receivers and the corners that definitely are more subject to the concussions and head injuries that we have.
Okay, that's great. Well, we got about 1 minute left, Raymond. So again, I want to thank you for your time. I'll give you about a minute. Maybe 30 seconds. Just any kind of closing comments or thoughts you had that you'd like to leave us with? Again, we thank you for your time. And anything quickly that you'd want to share with the Flag Football America community?
One last thing is just basically try to find ways to market yourself a little bit better if you're in a league. I know sometimes that can be difficult to manage a league, and you're in the same situation that we've talked about before where, you know, you're not getting enough teams or what have you. You got to just get creative, adjust fire, you know, and if you do those types of things, you'll run a pretty successful league. But definitely look at the models that we've done in terms of partnerships and sponsorships as to create more revenue for yourself and your league.
Great. Again, Raymond, thank you for your time. And one thing that I'll talk to you about offline is I'd love to maybe bring a team out. Maybe we could put together a Flag Football America team versus
TC Flag Football All-Stars. Maybe we could talk about something like that in the next coming months.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you for your time. This is the Flag Football America Network with TC Flag Football. And please check us out online at flagfootballamerica.com. Raymond, thank you so much for your time, and have a great day and have a great season.
All right, thank you, Stacey. You too.
Okay.